Now I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. There too we hear of the Lord and of his anointed. Revelation chapter 5, which gives us a vision of who's worthy to enact the will of God. It's an important question, because if you ask yourself, are you worthy to enact the will of God and say, let his will be done, the answer would have to be for you and me and every other human being. An angel in heaven, no, you're not worthy. There's only one. We read of that here in Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Such our reading from God's holy word. May he be pleased to bless that word to us tonight. Dear congregation, the great worship service in heavenly glory you read about there is the victory of Psalm 2. Most of us want to live lives where we just get on with our lives. We work, we enjoy our work, we make money, maybe we have a family, we raise children, we take cool vacations, get at family get-togethers, have some fun stuff to do with friends, and there. Well, secular people can want that too. There. To be called to a kingdom come fight, well, that's different. To be called as a good soldier in Jesus Christ, to take your share of suffering as such a soldier, well, that's a different matter. But you can't read Psalm 2 without seeing there's a big fight. Why do they? This is a believer talking, almost bewildered by the audacity of unbelief and the foolishness of what it would attempt. Why do the nations rage? This is our confession. And the people's plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against God Almighty and against the Christ. My word, what do you think you're doing? Why would you do that? It's in vain. It's utter folly. It is a broad road that leads to destruction. That's what it is. Why do the nations rage, plot in vain? What is in their minds? Psalm 2 shows us, as Revelation 5 does, that our blessedness is Christ alone. There's only blessing for those who kiss the Son, who worship him, who are surrendered to him, who are healed by him, who are helped by him, who are led by him. Our blessedness is Christ alone. And that's true right now. It's something we have to believe and then live right now. And we have to do that in spite of, point number one, he's our blessedness in spite of human rebellion. And the opening verses of Psalm 2 are about human rebellion. It's about what you hear about on the news. It's about the social fight, the cultural battle within our own land and nation. And it's like, that's not new. That's been going on all along. We just feel the pinch of it more. The facade of a veneer of Christianity or Christian-like thinking is more stripped away, and a more vicious and obvious and obstinate unbelief is exposed. It's not new. It's been festering there for centuries, certainly. But it's grown, and it's more jaded and deliberate and belligerent. And it's Psalm 2. It's Revelation 5 stuff. It's about nations raging and peoples plotting and kings of the earth, rulers and presidents and government officials and others like them. It's about them setting themselves against the Lord Yahweh, the covenant God of redemptive history, who sends his Son, who brings Messiah, against his anointed. Christ means anointed one in the Greek language. And Mashiach means anointed one, the Messiah in the Hebrew language. That one, the appointed one, the commissioned one, the one set aside for a specific redemptive healing task as God's special agent of redemption. We're against the Lord. We're against him. We're against God's plan. That's what the nations rage, all their raging is about. So one way you could listen to the ladies of the five is they're raging against the Lord and his anointed. There's a new way to listen to a talk show. They're raging against the king. Not him. Not that plan, not that way. Not that. And it's in vain. And vanity is bubble chasing. You know, it's fun for little kids to chase bubbles in the backyard, but don't try to make a career of it. You know, maybe making the bubbles. You can have a career of making the bubbles and the little wands and stuff. You can do that, but you don't want to make a career. What did you do today? I chased bubbles. That is vain. That is empty. That's silly. Help the soul. What? That's that vanity word. And people shaking their fist in God's face is vanity. It's meaningless. It's empty. It goes nowhere. It's futile. You know, it's like trying to push that rock up the mountain, up the hill, and you get it right there, and it rolls back down again. And you start over, and it rolls back down again. It's futile. Important that we see this raging and this plotting and this setting themselves against. It's against his church, it's against his people, it's against that scroll where the will of God is done, but it's also according to the scroll where the will of God is fulfilled. Through them, in spite of them, in opposition to them, unto kingdom come. Now this psalm, if I was a seminarian, dear congregation, this is a royal psalm. You know, your seminarians always have to get off all the information in there at the front. It's a royal psalm. They would have used this any time a king was coronated. It was read, and you know, and then with the coronation of the new king, the opposers of the new king would want to plot against the new king, and it's in, you know, God's on his side. So, yeah, right. But we're not talking about mere coronation of a transfer of kings. We're talking about the King of Kings here. We're talking about the Lord God and his ultimate anointed one here. Headset problems. Alunz and I are not quite the same. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Well, there you have it. Human rebellion, the fist in God's face, started already in Eden. Has God said, maybe the devil's more reliable. I will not live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. I'll heed other words. I won't live by faith and trust what God says, and out of that trust obey what God says. No, I won't believe God. There's your first unbelief. And I'll go my own way. And then if you wanted to see the nations raging and plotting in vain, you can go to the Tower of Babel. I got to write a Tower of Babel sermon this summer. You know, I'm all into getting that one up and running. Because the nations conspire, they plot, they come together. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're it. We're the way, the truth, the life, the answer, the blessing, the solution. And God knocks them down and disperses them. It was all in vain. Notice how they talk about being under God's care, bonds and cords that have to be broken. When actually it's loving arms that take care of us, that nurture us, protect us. Now God has a reply to all this. So Christ is our only blessing despite everything, human rebellion and all the rest. But we're encouraged in the midst of this rebellion by divine laughter. Now, you know, you want to always speak respectfully, but in a way, God kind of gets the giggles over this. You have these little human creatures that only exist by his providential care, holding them up in existence and being, giving them life and breath, and we're against the kingdom of God, and we're against the church, and we're against the Christ, and we hate this oppressive faith and what that's all about, And God has the giggles up in glory. You? Seriously? God has, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. And then he'll speak to them in his wrath. So first he laughs derisively, dismissively, ridiculously, silly, really now, come on, wow, this is a laugh. But then he talks. In his wrath, he will speak in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. We don't live in a world where people are much terrified nowadays. I know that. People don't much respect God and his way and will and wisdom and word and truth. They throw Jesus' name around like a piece of dirt. I know that. But a day comes when he'll speak not a word of invitation and glory and help and hope, but a word of wrath. Terrify them in his fury. What does he say that's so terrifying? This. As for me, God, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. What? I've set the Christ on high as king. That's what I've done. The laughter turns to speech that terrifies, a terrifying laughter of God in his wrath, a king who comes to bring kingdom come, who has brought kingdom come and will one day bring the fullness and all the plenty of kingdom come. And that's why in the very next set of verses, as part of this point two, this Christ is our blessedness and he alone is that blessedness, because we're encouraged by a laughter that speaks, who sets his king on his holy hill, and now Christ speaks. So the opening verses, you have the church kind of bewildered, like the nations are nuts to oppose God. And then you have God laughing and speaking. And as part of that, you have his anointed one now speaking. Starting at verse 7, I will tell of the decree. Think of Jesus speaking now. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. What is so terrifying is that he creates a people for himself out of a shaking its fist in God's face humanity. That he takes people like us who would easily join the fist shaking and easily plot in vain and easily conspire and easily join in, easily partake of the sins of Psalm 1. You know, the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but how easy for us to walk in the counsel of the wicked. The blessed man stands not in the way of sinners, but how easy to stand along and go along in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers, but we know our own heart how easily we would and could, and how sometimes we go astray and do, and people fall away from this family of God, and that characterizes who they are. We delight in the law of God, but how easy not to delight in that law. That's the ladies of the view. They don't, you know, pick on them. It's just kind of fun, but I can only rage at the TV. Now I get to say something back. What you are ragers against God. You hate him, and you hate his people, and you hate his commandments, and you hate his truth, and you hate Christ and his cross, and that you need forgiveness and grace and help, and The message of the gospel is under their ears too, and many ears like that. Be healed, be saved, come. A prodigal son, come to your senses. Come home, there's a father waiting for you. That terrifies them that the nations could be the heritage of the Christ, the ends of the earth, his possession. He wins? Yes, he does. Indeed, he does. He shall break them with a rod of iron, dash them. That's the final judgment, finally. Dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's partly the victory of Revelation 5, because the Lamb who was slain but is resurrected from the dead is the one worthy to say, let God's will be done unto kingdom come. And that's why he's worthy to take the scroll, open its seals, and let even the wrath of God be upon the peoples of the earth. He ransomed for God from every language, tribe, people, nation. He's made them a kingdom and priests to his God. They reign on earth. He wins. The earth is his possession. Need more slack. That's the problem. There. Now I can really start preaching. Okay. How beautiful. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage. That's us. That's us. We've been made his heritage. We've been made his possession. He's broke our hearts and broke our rebellious will, but he doesn't therefore break us or dash us like a potter's vessel. That happened to Jesus. And so out of all of this is a call of gospel that issues. The church proclaims its blessedness in him alone and warns the world and calls the world to this king, to this kingdom. That's what you see in the last voice heard here, starting at verse 10 of Psalm 2. Now therefore, O kings, in light of all of that, in light of your vain rebellion, in light of God's derisive laughter, in light of his speaking a frightening word that I've set my King Christ with his kingdom and he wins, he takes possession of the earth, it's his, you lose, in light of that, be wise. Wise up. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. This is for every generation, every decade, every century, every millennium, every land, every country, every people, every nation. O kings, be wise, be warned. And with the kings, the citizens of such kingdoms and places and governments, from communist and tyrannical places to democracies over the globe, wise up! Serve the Lord with fear. It starts sounding like, be poor in spirit. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, God's kind. It's the meek who inherit the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And with that, you can do something else. You can rejoice. Joy. Rejoicing. Life with God. Joy. Privilege. Loved, wanted, embraced, forgiven. Rejoice with trembling, fear and trembling. We come with fear and trembling, but we come because we know it's safe to come to him. The prodigal son knew he was better off in his father's household, but he knew there was a household of a father that he could return to, a good father. We need to know and believe that about God. He's good. He's loving. He's tender. He's forgiving. He's kind. He set his king on Zion, his holy hill, that he would first die on Golgotha, a place of darkness and death and hellish agony, to save us. Be wise, be warned, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, be surrendered, believe, come, heavy laden, burdened, young person, child, lonely person, broken heart, broken marriage, broken life, under addictions, secret sins no one knows about, come. Be healed. Kiss the Son. Love him because you're loved. Take the narrow gate. Walk the narrow path. Refuse to stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers or to take counsel with the wicked. Instead, delight in the law of the Lord. Delight in the law of the Lord, and your life will be more like a tree planted by a stream where it always has a supply of water. It's not parched and dead and broken, but it flourishes, yields fruit in season. Its leaf doesn't wither. But the nations in their plotting, you don't want to kiss the Son? Then you'll bow the knee in surrender, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. God is gentle and good, but he's also holy and righteous. He's safe to turn in repentance to. That's why we do. But he's not to be trifled with. He's not to be mocked. His wrath quickly kindled. We live in a world where you almost at times feel like, Lord, for the sake of your people, have mercy upon this land. Certainly don't have mercy upon this land for the way it denies you, dismisses you, rebels against you, fights against you, plots against you, against you and against your anointed, but for the sake of your people. If there's 10, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? The Lord is abounding in mercy and loving kindness, but it's never to be presumed on, but empty-handed, pleaded for. Here's the thing. How does it end? Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Psalm 1, these big doors to the Psalter. Very opening verse. Blessed is the man who's not a wicked man pursuing wickedness. It ends, the other big door swinging open. Blessed are all who flee to take refuge. They're running for their lives, for mercy and help and security and salvation, who take refuge in him. Again, the anointed one who opens his arms and calls us to himself. Come to me. Don't you need to come to Jesus? Not because, well, I did that already. When do you not need to come to Jesus? When does your marriage not need Jesus? When do your children not need what Jesus gives? When does a congregation together not need what Jesus bestows? When do any of us not need the Son? Kiss the Son. You communed with him this morning. Live in the victory of his promises. Amen. We are thankful, God, for your kindness and mercy to us. Now, as we would go forth from this place, we ask that you would bless your word to us, as we would proclaim to the world to be wise, to be warned, to surrender to Jesus, lest his wrath be kindled and they perish in the way. Lord, have mercy, give ears to hear the gospel. Indeed, again, we pray that an awakening might come to our broken land. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we respond by singing number 408?